Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine and for providing a reasoned defense for historic Christianity with gentleness and respect. To contact our Resource Center toll-free, just dial 888-7000-CRI or find us online at equip.org. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, the anniversary is September 11, 2001. There's no need to paint a word picture describing its horrors. I suppose the images will forever be emblazoned on our collective consciousness. Americans, well, they've long considered their country impervious to the atrocities of terrorism. And therefore, to awake to a headline that screamed "Day of Evil" was for us unthinkable. I remember watching the Twin Towers of American invincibility and ingenuity crumble and collapse, and I could not but pray that this would be a catalyst to arouse Western Christians from our luxury-induced stupor, that it would incite us to rush to the aid of those trapped within the ruins of sin-sick souls. Of course, I'm reminded, as many others are, of the words of Jesus Christ regarding those who perished 10 years ago. Because when the Tower of Siloam crashed down upon people in the time of Jesus, he said, "Do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. Unless you repent, you too will perish." He pointed beyond an exigency to an eternal verity. And today, as never before, Christians have to be prepared to declare hell's irrevocable reality to all who are steeped in doubt and unbelief, particularly when we have Christian leaders denying the reality. And as Eastern religions have become popular and influential in Western regions, common sense distinctions between good and evil are being blurred. Not only blurred, they're being obliterated. In the face of political correctness, it is increasingly difficult to communicate common sense verities like the existence of hell. And yet, without this reality, wrongs ranging from terrorist attacks to terrifying abortions will never be righted. Surely, there's no real justice if there's no place of punishment for the demented souls of those who have initiated the merciless slaughter of multi-millions. Surely, God's justice demands that there's a hell. We must ever remember that while the Creator made evil possible because He granted us freedom of choice, it is human beings who have actualized that evil. Might be popular to refer to terrorist acts as unthinkable, but in reality, the history of humanity graphically demonstrates that there is virtually no limit to the evil that lurks within the human heart. September 11 should serve as a potent reminder of the human condition and of our need for someone to save us from it, our need for a Savior. And again, that is why it is my prayer that the images of blazing fire and billowing smoke that we've seen in our television sets emanating from New York and Washington and Pennsylvania will arouse us from lethargy, will renew our passion to rescue the perishing, not from a temporary inferno, but an inferno that will never be quenched. Never forget this, there are only two kinds of people in the world. Those who spend an eternity with the Savior in a renewed universe, and those who are forever separated from His goodness and His grace. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up, Ron, listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good talking to you.
My question was pertaining to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8.
Uh-huh.
And it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Could you just shed a little light on that, if you may?
Yeah, I think the first thing that you should take out of this is that the passage should not be interpreted literalistically, because Peter does not say a day is 1,000 years, but he says a day is like 1,000 years. In other words, it's a simile, it's an analogy, it's a comparison, it's not a comparable. So when the psalmist says 1,000 years is like a watch in the night, and a watch in the night is 3 or 4 hours, we don't suppose that 1,000 years is equal to 4 hours, right? The point here is that God's relationship to the passing of time is different than our relationship to the passing of time. We think our lives are long. From God's perspective, our lives are but a vapor. And I think that's what's going on. The 1,000 years there is a metaphorical reference. And if you compare Scripture to Scripture, you see this over and over again in the Scriptures. For example, God increased the number of the Israelites 1,000 times. Well, that's obviously a metaphor. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God keeps His covenant to 1,000 generations. The least of Zion will become 1,000 and the smallest a mighty nation. Or,
that's right,
as we've just seen, a day in God's sight is better than 1,000 elsewhere. God shows love to 1,000 generations. Now, when the Bible says God shows love to 1,000 generations, we don't suppose that He doesn't show love to 1,001 generations. Again, it is a metaphor to point out that God's love is everlasting, just as when the Bible says God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, it's a metaphor to say that God owns everything. So this is what's called reading the Bible in the sense in which it is intended.
All right, I appreciate that.
Makes sense?
There's definitely a lot there. Yep.
Good.
Yeah, especially with the 1,000 years. I was reading in 2 Chronicles, if I remember, and it was speaking about David, that he numbered his kingdom, and that the number that Joab came back with was 1,000, 1,000, and 100,000. So the 1,000 as a metaphor and literal is very powerful in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. And whenever 1,000 is used as a whole number, you can make a pretty good educated guess that's going to be used in a metaphorical way.
That's right.
Appreciate your call.
All right, well, I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Terry, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Prescott, Arizona. Hi, Terry.
Hi. I've learned so much from you, and thank you so much for your ministry.
Oh, thank you for your encouragement.
I have an aunt who follows the psychic Jane Roberts, who is now deceased, who allegedly channeled Seth. And every time I quote the Bible to her, she quotes Seth. And I finally really came out with it and said, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And she said, well, I don't believe in hell, and I don't believe in the Bible. And I've been witnessing to her for years, and my husband said, just let it go and pray for her. What do you think?
Well, I think, yes, prayer is firing the winning shot, but I don't think we only pray. We put feet to our faith, which is to say, as believers, we must be equipped always to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect.
Right.
You can't talk her into the kingdom. You can't talk her from Seth to the Savior. But you can point out the difference between Seth and the Savior, which is to say that if you look at Seth and what Seth communicates, the channeled Seth, that is, you'll find that it doesn't correspond to reality. If you look at what Jesus Christ says, you will find that it does correspond to reality, and that which corresponds to reality is truth. The same thing about the Bible. I think one of the primary reasons I wrote the book, Has God Spoken, is to demonstrate that this is divine. And therefore, it becomes the standard by which you test Seth. You test Seth in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good, because Scripture can be demonstrated to be authoritative. It can be demonstrated to be the words of God as opposed to merely the words of men. And again, that's why I took the time to write a book that lays all of this out in memorable fashion. So you not only get the information, you can remember the information, and you remember the information so that you can use the information. Again, you have to be able to demonstrate that the Bible is divine. Now, you can't force feed someone with this, but once you have the information, I can promise you that God will give you an opportunity to use the information. And pray and be equipped. The issue is never evangelism, but equipping for evangelism. If you're equipped for evangelism, if God doesn't give you an opportunity in this case, He will give you an opportunity in other cases.
Okay. And I can get that book how?
Through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's brand new, and you can order it by just hanging on, or if we lose you, just go to equip.org on the World Wide Web. I'll also give our address once again. It's Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271.
Okay, or, 28271.
Yeah, 28271.
Okay. Yep. Okay, thank you so much. I will read the book and not give up on her.
Well, bless you, Terry. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Also, resource consultants are standing by at 888-7000-CRI, so another way to order via the phone. Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Roy. He's listening on KTFG in Iowa. Hi, Roy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I have a quick question. I'm just wondering if a person, positionally they're in Christ, they've accepted Christ and know Him as their Savior, in their struggle with the human condition, if they see that at some point, you know, their only way out is suicide, is that person still going to have access to heaven?
Well, here's the thing. Suicide is not the unpardonable sin, but someone who is a believer would not in their right mind commit suicide, because suicide is taking a prerogative that is God's prerogative. The prerogative of life and death is the prerogative of God. It's not the prerogative of human beings, and therefore we dare not choose the end. Rather, we recognize that this is the province of God. So it is inconsistent with Christian commitment. Now, it certainly is possible that someone that is not in their right mind, so to speak, would commit suicide, but this is not something that any Christian ought to contemplate actively, because, again, they realize that this is the province of God, not the prerogative of human beings.
Mm-hmm. If they did, would they spend eternity in heaven?
Well, again, the only unforgivable sin is not a single act. It is a continuous, ongoing rejection of forgiveness.
Right.
Those who refuse forgiveness through Christ will spend eternity separated from His loving grace. Those who sincerely desire forgiveness can be absolutely certain that God will never spurn them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And I think it's a very relevant call, because in a society of stressed out people, suicide is not a singularly secular problem, nor is it relegated to any particular segment of society. According to the Centers for Disease Control, suicide is the third, think about that, the third leading cause of death among young people that are aged 15 to 24. And the incidence of suicide continues to skyrocket, and therefore, I'm frequently asked this question. The Bible Answer Man broadcast and gave an entry, devoted an entry to this question in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. And again, while suicide is not an unforgivable sin, those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips should not contemplate suicide. Our lives belong to God, and He alone has the prerogative to bring our lives to an end. God says, "See now that I myself am He. There is no God beside me. I put to death and bring to life. I have wounded and I heal, and no one can deliver out of my hand." Suicide, remember, is murder. It's the murder of oneself. As such, it is a direct violation of the sixth commandment, "You shall not murder." Suicide is a direct attack on the sovereignty of the very one who knit us together in our mother's wombs. And therefore, again, as Christians, we should never contemplate suicide. Again, I wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the ongoing ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be right back with more of your questions answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer.
Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken?, Hank counters the contentions of Bible critics and shows that belief in the Holy Scripture does not stem from wishful thinking. Rather, belief logically flows from an honest examination of the evidence. Order Has God Spoken? For your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A couple of words about metamorphosis and then back to our callers. It's vibrant footage. The whole astounding life cycle of the butterfly. On DVD, it is majestic. The mystery, the majesty of God's creation as expressed in these miniature marvels, insects that actually, in a very real sense, die to be reborn as almost completely new and glorious creatures. I was left after seeing the DVD believing the butterfly may well be the single best proof in the natural world for the existence of a divine creator. And as I watched the last few minutes, metamorphosis absolutely riveted me with the notion that this might be one of the best witnessing tools I've ever encountered. It witnesses without preaching, but you get it. You watch metamorphosis and you know intuitively, implicitly, directly in some senses, that these are demonstrations of what will one day happen to us, for we too will experience metamorphosis. Our lowly bodies transformed like unto His glorious body. And don't let that simply just pass over you. Think about the fact that Christ died and rose again. That's earnest that you will die and rise again. That's not something that is vain, part of Christian vocabulary. This is reality. One day, every single person will experience metamorphosis. What happens to the caterpillar will happen to you. There's a one-to-one correspondence between the body that dies and the body that rises, which is to say that in resurrection you will be what God created you to be if sin had never entered the world. Your lowly body will be transformed like unto His resurrected body. You will go through metamorphosis, and as you watch metamorphosis, you will see the parallels. But beyond that, when you watch metamorphosis, you will recognize that there's no possibility in an age of scientific enlightenment for the evolutionary paradigm to be true. And anyone that watches this with you, even unbelievers, will intuitively get it as well. That's why I say it preaches without preaching. It is majestic, it's beautiful, but when you get done with it, you will have made an impression on your kids, not only your family, though your friends. And that's why you can call our resource consultants for multiple quantities for your family and friends. Again, it's spectacular photography, computer animation, a transformation so incredible, biologists have called it butterfly magic. And whenever I run across a resource like this, my first impulse is to find a way to share it with you. When my staff first brought this idea to me, I thought, I don't think so. Boy, did I change my mind when I actually saw the DVD. I thought, wow, how could I have been so benighted? You just got to see this DVD. So I've asked our team to make Metamorphosis our thank you gift for your ministry support this month. Your gift of $25 or $50 or $100 or whatever God leads you to give will help us share with untold thousands the uncontestable facts of God's guiding hand on the natural world, and the all-important truth that in Christ His plan for our metamorphosis is far more glorious than any butterflies. I mentioned this the other day, but here in a debate, a Republican debate, John Huntsman talks about evolution as though it was settled science. But it's not settled science. In fact, empirical science has utterly demolished the idea that John Huntsman has so, without any basis, he has just said, look, this is settled science. You got to believe it. If you don't believe it, you're out of touch. But he's dead wrong, and watching metamorphosis, the beauty and design of butterflies, will drive that point home. And behind every Bible Answer Man broadcast and CRI resource, behind all the evidence, behind all the closely reasoned logical arguments, lies the goal of bringing ever more people into a life-transforming relationship with Christ. So again, please partner with me through your gift of any amount to create more compelling broadcasts and resources. Why? Because truth matters. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Metamorphosis. It is available through the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI, let's go back to the phone lines, talk to David. He's listening on WCRV in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank. I got a serious problem.
Okay.
My first wife, one day I came home and she left me and married another man. And I'm bipolar. And when that hit me like that, I prayed for her to come back. I prayed for her to come back. I prayed for her to come back. And my second wife, when I got out of the hospital, she said she wasn't going to take care of me anymore. And I prayed for her to come back and prayed for us to get together and prayed. Like in the books of Martin Carruthers, Ken Hagin, and Jim Baker, they were almost promising that I would get my marriage fixed. Almost seems like a magic formula. Not much different than Emanuel Swedenborg's writings and Paul Twitchell's Echinacar. And I've been praying for my wife to get back with me, and she died last month. And I just, it's like I've lost my faith. Like David prayed for God not to take his spirit from him.
Yes.
And Samson didn't even know when it was gone. And I miss having faith in God and having my fellowship with him. I'm probably sure I still have a relationship, but I don't have the fellowship anymore.
Yes. Well, wow. The first thing that comes to mind is not my words, but the words of David. These have touched me so deeply at many junctures in my life. And one thing that I would really recommend, David, if there's any possibility that you would do this, I think it would be transformational, is to take the words of Psalm 139 and imprint them on the canvas of your consciousness. In other words, memorize them no matter how much it takes. Yeah, and I want to go to those words for a second to just reinforce the power where David says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord.
Right.
You hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." And I underscore that point in particular in saying that you can break your communion with God, you can't break your union with God. But communion with God requires time and effort, even when you feel that God is far off. And David certainly felt that way when he said, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." Which is to say, there's no place that you can be that the love of God cannot find you and sustain you and reanimate your life. There's no difficult circumstance that God doesn't walk through the circumstance with you. And you said something very profound early on in the prologue to your question. There are people that want to give you magic formulas, but there are no magic formulas. The reality is Christianity does not promise us a panacea. What it does promise us is peace in the midst of life's storms. And I want to emphasize that. It doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, divorce, desertion, pain. But it gives us something far greater, something that transcends it. That's what I was talking about when I was talking about metamorphosis. We're talking about the hope of resurrection. So in the midst of pain, in the midst of difficulty, we look forward to a certain hope, which caused Job to say something profound, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." So you already, David, know enough about God to know that you can trust him in difficult circumstances, and God will not answer the why question, but he'll teach you to trust in the midst of your whys, in the midst of your circumstances. I don't know all the details surrounding the circumstances, but what I can say is God does, and he loves you in spite of the details, in the midst of the details, and he will point you to a destination. That's your hope, and that's what you have to fix your gaze upon. And that's why, ultimately, there's no magic solution. What you have to go back to is the Bible, prayer, being involved in a healthy, well-balanced church, and learning to live with eternity in mind, recognizing that anything you go through is a light and momentary difficulty from the perspective of eternity. And I don't want to be rude to you. We're coming up to a station break, but I do want to say this. We want to help you not just on air, but off air. So I want you to hang with us and someone will pick up and talk to you off air as well. For everybody listening in as well, I want to say what Psalm 139 promises us is the darkness will not be dark. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to God. Remember, God created our inmost being. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He is concerned with every single detail and exigency of our life. Again, unfortunately, up against a heartbreak. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
Behind every broadcast and CRI resource, behind all the evidence and closely reasoned logical arguments, lies the goal of bringing more people into a life-transforming relationship with Christ. When we equip our brothers and sisters to defend their faith boldly and lovingly, when we shatter the preconceptions of believers, we're advancing His kingdom. But we can only continue to do this through your support. So please, partner with us today through your gift to help create more compelling broadcasts and resources. And when you do, be sure to request your copy of Illustra Media's Metamorphosis on DVD. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. bibleanswerman.org. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Nancy Piercy addresses how the flawed worldview of secularism fails to explain human life and experience, how the hookup culture falls short of its promised liberation, and why biblical morality is not arbitrary in her article, Sex, Lies, and Secularism. William Dembski's article, Old Earth Creationism and the Fall, answers how Adam's sin could be responsible for the natural evil, including animal suffering and death, that preceded the fall. Other topics include a summary critique of Sam Harris's The Moral Landscape, What the Walking Dead Can Teach Pro-Lifers, a review of the film The Tree of Life, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff contends that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who is the Antichrist? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Karen, listening in Houston, Texas. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I have a question about marriage. If you're married on earth, are you married in heaven?
No. Earth is the breeding colony. Heaven is the homeland.
Well, that's what I thought, but I heard a pastor say that, and I don't quite understand where he was coming from.
Well, certainly not from the Bible, because Matthew 22:30 tells us that at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They'll be like the angels in that sense in heaven. But look, that does not mean that you will not have a relationship with the person who is your spouse now on earth.
Okay, what about my late husband who died 30 years ago and is a Christian?
you will have a relationship with him for all eternity, and that relationship in heaven will be better than the best thing we can imagine on earth.
Well, thank you so much.
You got it, Karen. There's a couple of things I want to do in this broadcast to highlight the significance of the book that I just wrote, Has God Spoken? What I did in this book is provide memorable proofs for the divine inspiration of Scripture. And at the end of every section, and there are four main parts, I have a little section called Memorable Snapshots where I take an acronym that summarizes all of the chapters in that part. For example, the first part is forged around the word copies, as in manuscript copies. And each one of the letters of copies means something. The C reminds you of copyist practices. The O in copies reminds you of oral culture. The P, papyrus and parchment. The I, internal evidence. The E, external evidence. And the S, the science of textual criticism. So how does that come together? Well, think about this. Copyist practices. In demonstrating that manuscript copies faithfully preserve the words of the autographs, we first look at copyists who constrain by the command, do not add to it or take away from it, fulfilled their task of copying with meticulous zeal. They weren't pre-programmed automatons, but as subject to all the frailties that are part and parcel of the human condition, they engaged in their task. So the copies they produced were good, but hardly perfect. It's outrageous to suppose that any fallible human being, no matter how disciplined and dedicated, could avoid minor mistakes, such as misspelling or misstating numbers or names. So the copies aren't perfect, and a lot of people today make a big deal out of that, saying you can't trust the Bible because the copies have more mistakes than words, for example, in the New Testament. But the problem with that kind of rhetoric is there's a science of textual criticism, and you can compare the copies, and by doing that, you can get back to the original, which is to say, out of the copies, the tenacity of the text produces a pristine autograph. So God has miraculously preserved his word over time. The second thing we want to remember is the oral culture, which is the O in the acronym copies. We're primarily people of the printed page, but not the ancients. In a predominantly oral culture, learning was virtually synonymous with memorization. Not only were saints required to discipline and dedicate themselves to recall the sayings of understanding, but sages were predisposed to present their sayings in an inherently memorable fashion. So Jesus' sermons, his sayings, are presented with repetition, with rhythm, with rhyme. And the disciples did the same thing. They employed vibrant associations, vivid imagery, and stimuli so that their hearers might not only hear, but remember. So first of all, you have the copyists, all the copies they produce, and then you have an oral culture where information is passed down in a way that people can remember, learn, recall, and pass down through the generations. The P stands for papyrus and parchment. And the sheer volume of papyrus and parchment undergirding sacred scripture dwarfs that of any other work in classical history. In excess of over 5,660 manuscripts of the New Testament alone have now been uncovered. And there is a relatively short time interval between the earliest papyrus and parchment copies of the New Testament and their autographs. And there is less than a generation between the autographs and the events they chronicle. So the quality and quantity of papyrus and parchment manuscripts assure us that the message, the intent of the original autographs has been passed on to the present generation without compromise. That leads me to the I in copies, internal evidence. Peter reminded hearers, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And Luke, he says he gathered eyewitness testimony and carefully investigated everything. If internal evidence points to anything, it is to the reality that the gospel writers were inspired to faithfully narrate a core set of facts by which they had been radically transformed. I've said this many times, but it's conceivable that they would have faced torture, vilification, cruel deaths for what they fervently believed to be true, but inconceivable that they would have been willing to die for cleverly invented stories they knew were lies. So you have the copyist practices, the C, oral culture, the O, P, papyrus and parchment, I, internal evidence. Well, in copies, the next letter is E, and that, of course, reminds us of external evidence. Internal evidence is sufficient to establish the biblical manuscripts as authentic, reliable, and complementary. External evidence, however, provides remarkable cooperating attestation. From early external evidence provided by credible historians, historians like Josephus, the Roman Tacitus, Suetonius, Plinius, it's possible to piece together highlights of Christ and New Testament Christianity wholly apart from the internal evidence itself. Josephus, for example, was born in AD 37 and as such was an eyewitness to many of the details, many of the descriptions that are found in the New Testament. The most noteworthy reference to Jesus appears in Antiquities 18, where Josephus comments on Jesus' character, His crucifixion, and even on His resurrection. So you have the copyist practices, the oral culture, parchment and papyrus, the internal evidence, the external evidence, and then the S, the final letter in copies, reminds us of the science of textual criticism. Again, I mentioned this, but it bears repeating. Not only are the details and descriptions encountered in our journey through the biblical text buttressed by credible external evidences, but by way of a science known as textual criticism. And by this, we can be absolutely certain that the biblical text authentically recapitulates the words of the original writers. That is precisely what textual critics do. They compare known manuscripts in an effort to trace the history of variation so as to discover the authentic wording of the autographs. The beauty from a biblical perspective is that the wealth of biblical manuscripts empowers textual critics to credibly sort out copyist errors so that the autograph emerges. We can be certain that no essential of the biblical message has been compromised, and non-essential copyist errors are resolved through manuscript comparisons, consideration of context, and plain old common sense. All of that to say is you can trust the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And that's just part one of the book. There's an acronym for every part so that you can get the information, remember the information, and be absolutely certain that the Bible is divine, that these are the words of God, that God has written 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. Has God Spoken, now available for your gift to the ongoing ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Bill, KQCV, in Oklahoma. Hi, Bill.
Brother Hank, how you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Well, I'm tired. Got in from work and just ordered a couple of your books. And my question is, I know what Acts 6, 2 through 4 says about the disciples and not being right for them to serve tables. What is exactly in today's church is the role of the pastor and the deacons and the church body? like, basically, who cleans the toilets if there's no one hired to do that?
Well, the body of Christ needs to function as Paul described in Romans chapter 12. So we all have different gifts and we have to exercise those gifts. So if a man's gift is prophesying or teaching, he has to exercise that gift according to the faith or grace that is given to him.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other people who have to exercise other gifts because we're not all fingers, we're not all toes, we're not all heads, we're not all hands. We're different parts of the body, we have different gifts, and collectively using those gifts makes the body function. So deacons, and particularly in choosing of the seven, you have a role that is laid out, a proposal that pleases the whole group. From a biblical standpoint, they choose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and a number of others, and they present these men to the apostles who prayed and laid hands on them, so the word of God spread. So you have in this context both people who are exercising an apostolic ministry, but also people who are serving the role of waiting on tables, as it were, serving the needs of other people. And again, these different roles, and there are many others that could be talked about, collectively allow the body of Christ to function as the body of Christ, as a corporate unity. A corporate unity that is structured such that when the world looks on, they say, see how they love one another.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. Well, thank you very much, brother. I appreciate it, and I've listened to you since 95, and we're the same age.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
61.
And we've been trying to serve Jesus since 83.
Wow.
And you started pretty close in there, and I really love your program, and I've learned beaucoup from you. Keep up the good work, brother.
Well, thank you so much for your encouragement, and I regret to say this, but we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered on air. When you dial 888-ASK-HANK, do remember resources that I've talked about on the broadcast? You can see them on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can pick up your phone, talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Again, thank you so much for your encouragement, your support, for tuning into the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you next time, right here with more of the broadcast.
Thank you for joining us on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts as well. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Butterflies are one of God's most amazing creations. Their wonder and mystery has captivated children and scientists alike. With their superbly engineered bodies, compound eyes made of thousands of individual lenses, wings covered with microscopic solar panels, as well as a navigational system, how could these extraordinary creatures come into being by blind, undirected processes? Metamorphosis, The Beauty and Design of Butterflies, an exciting documentary DVD from Illustra Media, explores their world like never before. Metamorphosis combines spectacular photography with advanced computer animation to not only give you insights into the wonders of nature, but see it filled with purpose that can only come from an intelligent designer. Order Metamorphosis on DVD by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible.
Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.